Would you join me in the opening prayer? El Roy, the God who sees me, you who are behind and before us, be with us this morning as we come to worship and praise you. Help us to hear your word and let it renew us by your Spirit. In your matchless name we pray. Imagine a woman in the desert alone. She's desperate. The sun is beating down on her. She fled from her home, a home where no one was on her side. She was afraid for her life and the life of her unborn child, a child conceived against her will. She comes across an oasis and sits to rest, unsure where to go or what to do. There's no one to go back to, no family, no home. She has nothing. In that moment of uncertainty, she hears a voice. The voice of God calls her by name, reminding her that she has no plan, but God does. So God tells her to go back, to return to the household of her child's father, and God promises that child a future. And in response to that promise, she gives this God a name, El Roy, the God who sees me. This is the story of Hagar, the slave of Sarai, who was the wife of Abram. You see, God had promised to make Abram the father of a nation. He was supposed to have descendants more plentiful than the stars in the sky. But his wife was barren and they were impatient. So as was customary, his wife suggested that they use her slave as a surrogate. Abram agreed, and Hagar was not free to disagree. Once she conceived, the dynamic between Hagar and Sarai changed. Hagar was able to do something that Sarai couldn't, which was their plan after all. But according to the Common English Bible, Hagar lost respect for Sarai. So she asked her husband to settle their conflict. Abram decided it was safer to stay out of it and told Sarai to do whatever she wanted. The Common English Bible said that Sarai dealt harshly with her, and that's when Hagar ran away. This is a biblical family. This is a biblical family. This is messy. We read stories from the Bible, and sometimes we don't react strongly enough. I say the word of God for us, the people of God, and you might say something like, "Thanks be to God." And you say that as if I didn't just tell you something crazy. And while this is a biblical family, this story is descriptive, not prescriptive. It describes how it is that Abram had his first son, Ishmael. But this scripture isn't here to say, this is the ideal way. This is the way that you will have descendants more plentiful than the stars in the sky. This is the way it should be done. In fact, quite the opposite. While the psalm that we read this morning is very familiar to us, Hagar's story is not. The Revised Common Lectionary is a 3-year cycle of 4 readings for each Sunday, including an Old Testament lesson, a psalm, a gospel lesson, and usually an epistle, a letter from Paul. This cycle of scripture reading is helpful in telling a broad overview of the entirety of scripture when used together throughout those 3 years. Churches that use the Revised Common Lectionary are most Protestant churches, United Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, I'm forgetting some, Presbyterian, and the Catholic Church has a different version of the lectionary. This is a universal reading of Scripture. However, Genesis 16, where we find Hagar's story, is not included in the lectionary at all. But Psalm 139 is included every year in the lectionary. And I'd like to suggest that this omniscient, omnipresent God that the psalmist describes in this beloved text describes the God that Hagar met in the desert, the God who she calls El Roy, the God who sees me. The writers of the Women's Bible Commentary reminds us that we often use words like omniscient and omnipresent as words to describe God as all-knowing and ever-present. We put them in terms that are formal and descriptive parts of traditional thought about God. But the psalmist wasn't writing doctrine. The psalmist was describing a personal relationship. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways, my good ways and my bad ways. God knew what had happened to Hagar. God knew about her situation and her suffering. God knew where she was, and God met her there. God meets us where we are, right in the middle of our mess and our suffering. Our God is inescapable. The psalmist writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? In the desert, by a spring of water, God shows up to Hagar." It may seem cruel to us that God sent Hagar back to Abram and Sarai, but God had made her a promise. God didn't just enter into covenant with Abram, but also now with Hagar, that her son would have his own nation with uncountable descendants. And that promise meant that she would live. That promise meant that her son had a future. God had formed Ishmael's inward parts. God had knit him together in Hagar's womb. Ishmael was fearfully and wonderfully made. And no harsh treatment from Sarai would take that away from her. While God tells her that she must return to her abusers, God, the God of Abram, becomes the God of Hagar as well. Walter Brueggemann says that God turns toward the outsider. He goes on to say that God's concern is not confined to the elect line. There is passion and concern for those who stand outside that line. We see this concern again and again in John 4 when Jesus wanders through a desert place and comes upon Jacob's well, where he waits for a Samaritan woman to come by herself alone to draw water in the heat of the day. He asked her for a drink of water, and she was stunned that a Jewish man would even speak to a Samaritan woman. She, like Hagar, had been tossed aside. Jesus knew she had been married 5 times, likely a widow, or even worse, rejected and abandoned repeatedly because she couldn't have children. But Jesus sees her the same way El Roy saw Hagar. He saw her and told her that their differences didn't matter to God. She was awaiting the day when that would be true, and he told her that the time had come and that he was the one to bring the truth and freedom of God's love for all people. This is just the first week of our new series, The Names of God. And God reveals God's self to us in many ways throughout all of Scripture. And we as humans use our mere words, it's all we have, to name and describe this loving, present, merciful God. Today we have encountered Elroy, the God who sees us. Think of that time in your wilderness, in your darkness, in your runaway place, that God has seen you. We worship a boundary-breaking God who sees us where we are, who will not leave us alone. These stories show us God seeing injustice, God caring for women, God going where the outsiders are. And we give thanks for this God. We hear this good news that God sees us, that God has searched us and known us, that there is not a place where we could go where we can escape from God's Spirit. And we take this news and know that it's not just ours to keep. The Samaritan woman at the well runs back to her town and tells everyone who Jesus is. We are called to open our eyes, to see the outsiders, the people forgotten and mistreated, to know and recognize that they, like us, were fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a modern hymn by Brandon Heath that prays this prayer. Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see. Everything that I keep missing, give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Let us hear this prayer and make it our own. Let us see others in the way that God sees us. Amen. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, Elroy, the God who sees us. You see the brokenness of this world, much of it beginning from the brokenness in this family we learn about this morning. You see those impacted by the violence in the Middle East. You see the families who are broken by shootings in schools and churches. You see every partner who is abused by the person who they are supposed to be able to trust. You see every child left out on the playground. You see us. God, help us to see each other the way that you see us. Help us to use our voices to make a difference, to invite a friend to the table, to go where the outsiders are. Remember, the humanity in us is in our neighbors too. Holy and merciful God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. We pray this in fear and trembling. We thank you that you are with us, that you guide us, that you comfort us, that even when the world is broken, you give us your peace, that we might be able to take each and every step we take. So God, we turn our hearts together, we join our voices to pray the prayer that leads us here at the gathering at Scott Memorial. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.